food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, September 14th, 2023. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Melody. The last week of summer.
Officially.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'm tempted to wish you a happy National Hoagie Day.
Oh, I love hoagies.
Yeah, me too.
But only people on the East Coast in Pennsylvania call them hoagies.
No, what do you want? No? Sub? Sub? You want a sub?
I don't know.
I could say happy cream-filled donut day, too.
Oh, that's even better.
Yes.
Ooh-hoo.
But as a brother of a long-time struggling drug addict, I'm going with Happy National Sober Day.
There you go.
Yes. Say.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, there you go. Be that staple of support today and all throughout the year. And remember to lead by example. Strutting your stuff can show others the way. There you go, Melody.
Well, it really is important. And, you know, I know you and I have had a little bit of disagreements on, you know, how these situations should be handled and everything. But I think there should be a whole lot more focus on care and treatments and so forth than what is out there. And
good. You've come around.
Well, no, I just don't believe in legalizing it. You know, I think that money should go more for that than legalizing. I don't think legalizing it. It's just, to me, it's a... It just show how our society is more declining than how and it doesn't help. So, but as yes, there can be more treatments and access. But hey, you can have it. You can have millions of them out there, or I should put it this way: there could be tons of help out there with all types of recovery facilities. But if you don't want to do it, they're useless. So you can't convince people to do it. They have to want to do it on their own. But it's sad and difficult because I can relate to also having a family member going down that path for his whole life. So anyway, let's go ahead and get to see what the prices are today. Well, a whole buck. Hey, we're up a buck, $1,910 for gold. Silver's trying, $22.71, $22.71. Platinum is up $6 at 916, and palladium was down a little bit, $1,284. You have the USDX today is stronger by 0.60 at 105.36. I really had a big turnaround today because I thought I saw it earlier in the day when I was looking at some of these paper markets that it was a little bit stronger. And we especially have crude oil up almost $2. We're back above 90 at 90.41. So interesting numbers to for the markets, the paper markets, to eke out the type of gain that they did. And 331 points for the Dow, 37 for the S&P, and the NASDAQ was up 112, just about ready to crack 14,000. So this is the best day for the Dow since early August as ARM debut revives an IPO market hopes. I'm not quite sure what ARM debut is, Dave. I didn't look into that. I just see that as a headline. So that's what they're saying. The Dow was higher for the day. European markets all positive across the board. FTSE was up almost 2%. That's huge for Europe, considering they just had another rate hike. I think it was Europe. I don't think, well, maybe it was European Union. We'll have to see.
Melody, just as a point, and excuse me in advance, I've got a feather in my throat today, so I've been drinking a lot of water, but ARM is ARM Holdings. It's a British semiconductor and software design company.
Okay, so that's why the European markets were stronger also. Must be a big deal to move two markets. Asian markets, they were all positive too, so I don't know what really happened. The Nikkei was up almost 1.5%. So I don't know what's 10-year yield, 4.29%. Natural gas, 2.70. Still up under 1%. So kind of interesting numbers considering some of the reports that have come out. So except with the hope that now they're, I don't know, with the reports, you'd think there would be another rate increase, but I think they're waiting. The consensus is there won't be, but anyway, yeah, it's surprising with wholesale prices that picked up in August. So again, it's an inflation number that is not going away anytime soon. The Labor Department said today that the PPI, which measures the inflation before it hits consumers, increased 1.6% last month from a year ago. So that's up 0.8 yearly increase in July and 0.1% in June. So, yes, and you could say the higher gas prices, but I think people are also talking about a lot of other things. But hey, let's take out those high food prices and let's take out that energy, and let's just exclude them. Core inflation rose 2.2% from a year earlier, although it was only down a little bit from July, 2.4%. So, yeah, who needs food? Who needs energy? That, you know, that doesn't affect us. So we're still seeing wholesale prices are rising. I think you'll also see that filter down through the consumer costs. And we'll just have to wait and see, Dave. Today's data reflect prices charged by manufacturers, farmers, and wholesalers. The government also reported that the consumer price index, the most widely followed inflation gauge, rose 3.7% in August from a year ago, up from 3.2% yearly gain in July, Dave.
Yeah, but again, you exclude the energy
take
and
that
food.
Out. We don't need that.
I know. You take them out, core inflation fell to 4.3% from 4.7. A tad funky, I might say. Now, the Fed monitors core prices. They prefer that measure because they consider it a better measure of future inflation trends. In any event, inflation remains far above the Fed's 2% target. and the pickup in wholesale prices last month emphasizes that while further declines are going to be bumpy and uneven for sure. Now, the wholesale inflation has fallen, like CPI from this one, from a peak of 11.7% in March last year. The Fed and others are going to have a difficult time getting it back to 2. Virtually all Fed Fund future traders expect that the Fed will leave the benchmark rate unchanged at its meeting next week, as officials take more time to study the impact of the 11 increases it's implemented to date. Still, with inflation likely to decline only gradually at best in the coming months, Fed Fund future traders see a 43% chance that the Fed could hike borrowing costs one more time before the end of the year. Retail sales, according to the government, rose 0.6% in August, largely, again, because sharply higher gas prices pushed up gas station sales. But excluding that, Melody, retail sales rose a measly 0.2%.
I don't know, some reports out there, you hear it and you think it rose, you think it would increase by a whole lot more than that. But anyway, the number of Americans, yay, it's jobless claims Thursday. That ticked up modestly after we saw it fall to the lowest level in a couple of months, 7 months. Today's government report comes as companies continue to retain their employees. Initial applications for jobless claims rose by 3,000 to 220,000 for the week ending September 9th. But you also have Labor Day in there, right? So they were short one day. So this is really a four-day report. Jobless claims applications are seen as a representative of the numbers of layoffs in any given week. So Fed rate hikes, as we've talked about here often enough, that the hikes were meant to cool the job market, bring down wages, just what you need in inflationary. But anyway, so what say you, Dave?
What say I? Well,
what say you?
I don't know. It's, you know, the same numbers by and large. Week in, week out. I mean, we know the 187,000 jobs, new job. I'm not going to say new jobs. Jobs added in August, an average of 236K this year. Recent government data also showed that job openings dropped to 8.8 million in July, down from 9.2 in June, and the fewest since March of 2021. However, the numbers remain unusually high, considering that monthly job openings never topped 8 million before 2021. And now, you know, besides the tech sector, really, most companies have been trying to hold on to their workers. It stems from, you know, having so much difficulty replenishing their workforces after cutting jobs during the pandemic shutdowns. Any sizable amount of the ongoing hiring, they say, likely reflects efforts by firms to catch up to elevated levels of consumer demand that emerged since the supply recession in 2020. That conflicts with the other reports I've seen recently that say it hasn't been a matter of demand, but more supply catching up, an overabundance of inventory. In any event, you know, but just shy of 1.7 million people were collecting unemployment benefits the week ending September 2nd. It's about 4,000 more than the last week in August, Melody.
Well, as I mentioned, we've now topped $90 for oil. And, you know, I'm sorry, Dave, but now you have the U.S. Energy Department. They're talking to oil producers and refiners to ensure stable fuel supplies at a time of rising gasoline prices. Well, they can't touch the reserve tanks anymore because they're empty. Jared Bernstein, he's head of the White House, White House Council of Economic Advisors. Rising gasoline prices, they're blaming as part of the largest increase in consumer prices. And you have the administration reaching out last week to oil industry companies to assess inventory levels and learn of any planned shutdowns of refineries. Now, again, we know that the Saudis and Russia, are cutting output. Don't we just have to let our companies do what they do? And we've seen gasoline prices jump over 10% in August. they peaked $3.98 per gallon in the third week of August, according to the Energy Information Administration, up from $3.68 per gallon during the same period in July. I mean, they just shut down the Alaskan. There was some kind of drilling or something going on in Alaska. They just shut that down, 2 weeks ago or a week ago? Wasn't that long ago. So why do these things at a time when we know gasoline prices are going higher and there really isn't anything that this government can do? There really isn't anything. Can they?
Well, it's limited. It always
very limited.
It always has been limited.
Unless they reversed some of those regulations against the drilling companies here so we could produce our own. But again, then we're back to the refining problems.
Well, we could spend a whole show debating whether or not we should be pumping more oil out of our country or not. What I took away from this is certainly the political aspect. The Biden folks are worried as all get out because we're just getting closer to next year's election cycle, and with gas prices on the rise as they are, it just doesn't look good. And I think, it's probably a good time for them to have reached out to oil refiners, given the fact that we're in the midst of a new hurricane season and with fears of, another major storm in the Gulf of Mexico that could have real profound effects on prices if there's a direct hit. And in any case, there's nothing you could do then in any way. They've got to look at fuel exports. I know that a lot of those exports heading toward Europe to make up for the gap from Russia. So that's a tough nut to swallow. I'm not so sure there's a whole lot that can be done here. Keep whatever pressure you can apply on. I don't know that what the impact that, particularly the immediate impact that any new policies would have in the short run. It takes a long time for these pipelines to be built, so we'll see what happens. We know that they can't tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. It's gotten too low. It's 350 million barrels. With all the geopolitical tension in the world, it's not likely to happen.
No. Personally, I don't think it should have ever even been tapped, but I think they've, but anyway, it's here. why can't they stop all those exports from going out and helping us so we have to pay higher prices just so they can sell it to Europe?
Well, you know, there's probably a trade-off between Americans paying higher prices and Europeans not having home heating oil, period, as the winter approaches. It's not a fun trade-off to think about.
No, but I mean, thank goodness the music is playing. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call and visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We've got some specials going on Silver Eagles, and you won't be able to find – I just can't believe some of the prices that I see online for Silver Eagles. They're just unbelievable. And I was doing a comparison for a gentleman for $20 gold pieces. I can't even believe the prices that they're selling 63 saints online for like $2,800. Are you kidding me? They should only be $2,300. I mean, things are just so out of whack, even on the online sellers for gold and silver. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Well, I guess this is the year of the strikes. The United Auto Workers Union, hey, they're ready to strike. All the Detroit 3 automakers at midnight tonight. And the standoff comes amid a global transition towards electric vehicles and with American automakers looking for competitive advantages against non-unionized EV companies like Tesla. The auto workers, meanwhile, are demanding higher wages and other benefits to reflect contributions to their employer's multi-billion dollar profits. So a work stoppage at GM, Ford, and Stellantis would result in an economic loss of more than $5 billion just after 10 days. And the 2019 strike against GM alone cost the company $4 billion. Contracts with about 150,000 workers at the three companies expire at 11:59 p.m. And the president of the UAW says, nope, we promise a strike if new labor terms are not agreed to by then. So supposedly there is progress in the negotiations, but they're still pretty far apart, Dave.
Yeah. Hey, back to oil for just one quick second. The top five destinations of our petroleum exports, all petroleum products, including crude oil. In last year, Mexico got 12%, Canada 9%, China 7%. That's interesting. Netherlands 6%, South Korea 6%. Those were the top five anyway. But just crude oil, you have South Korea, Netherlands, UK, Canada, and India. So I stand corrected on that one. Anyway.
Yeah, because I was hearing that India then turns around and sells it to
Russia.
Well, it's like, okay. But yet the Americans can't have it. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Fain of the UAW, he's been edging for a strike throughout this whole process. I think he sees a huge win given where the economy is, given where politics are. I don't know. They may overplay their card. I mean, when people see that, you know, the auto workers are asking for 46% pay raise.
That's crazy. Though, Dave, isn't it?
When the price is, well, it's over a couple of years, but still it's huge. I mean, given that the price of a car, I don't know what percentage are labor costs, but I got to believe it's a good chunk, even if it's, say 50%, even if it's a third of the cost, which it's almost certain to be more. We're going to see big increases in what we're going to end up paying at the lot for new cars in particular. I think this is almost certain to happen. I can't imagine there's going to be an 11th hour deal today that any of the three big automakers are going to be able to make offers that assuage Fain. So it's be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. Not sure where this ends. If you've already ordered a car and it's being custom made, you may be in for a little longer wait than you signed up for.
If they're buying American.
Well, true. That's true.
But you know what? It's kind of interesting, though. We've seen so many strikes this year and so forth, and you're making the amount that they increase and their benefits and so forth. And it's part of the reasons why your manufacturing will not come back to this country again. I mean, that's a major, one of the major reasons, along with regulation and everything else. But they can't compete. We can't compete.
The car companies themselves are, you know, have to take a lot of the blame for this. I mean, you know, with record profits the last 2 years, and you know, they had to expect something like this. I mean, perhaps they're charging a tad too much for their cars.
That's really not here nor there, because that would keep other manufacturers to come back to the States, because it's just not competitive. We can't compete with your Asian countries, particularly, you know, when you're looking at India and you know, all the other ones. We can't compete. So You know, and it's you know, whether they are right or wrong, I'm not questioning that. It's just, it's the reason why manufacturing is not going to come back in any meaningful way to this country, you know. So anyway, you know, we saw that the European markets were all strong, and it was the European Central Bank piled on a 10th straight interest rate increase today as they're fighting their inflation battle. And the increase of a quarter percentage point comes as central banks around the world, and it includes ours, are trying to figure out how much anti-inflation medicine is too much. And that still remains to be seen. And we'll have to see what they're comfortable with keeping. President Christine Lagarde said interest rates are at levels that maintain for a sufficiently long duration. So they're going to be there for a long time, higher rates, Dave.
Yeah, well, Christine Lagarde, ECB Prez, said that not only that, she didn't promise that they're at peak rates now. I mean, they've got average annual inflation of 5.3% in the 20 countries that use the euro, and that's you know, 2.5 times the bank's 2% target. Of course, they say that robs consumers of purchasing power and contributes to economic stagnation, all in supporting another rate increase. So Karsten Brzeski, chief Eurozone economist for ING, said looking ahead, a further weakening of the economy and more traction in a deflationary trend will make it very hard to find arguments for another hike before the end of the year. Well, we shall see. Just like here in the States.
Yes, we shall see. And you know what? We just got done talking about cars, and I think you want to talk a little more about cars and privacy, Dave?
Yeah, this disturbing story for millions of Americans. Their car is a safe haven. It's a rare place to find privacy between home and work, whether you're, you know, listening to your music, gathering your thoughts on, you know, the way to work, or just a joyride. But it's too bad, then, that automakers apparently have no respect for our privacy, at least according to a new report from the Mozilla Foundation. Of course, our cars have been computers on wheels. They have an unmatched power to watch, listen, and collect information about what we do and where we go. But listen to this. That information is then shared with or sold to data brokers, to law enforcement, and others. Americans spend about 300 hours a year on average driving, plus many more hours when cars happen to be used as an office, a lunchroom, a phone booth, or a recording studio. Information about what we do during these hours can be extremely valuable to those who pay a lot of money for it. Out of 25 car brands studied by the foundation, 56% share data with law enforcement in response to an informal request. 84% share or sell personal data. And 100% earned the foundation's privacy not included warning label. Listen to the Nissan privacy notice. You own a Nissan, this is what you agree to, whether you know it or not, and you probably didn't or don't. It says the company can share, quote, sensitive personal information, including driver's license number, national state identification number, citizenship status, immigration status, race, national origin, religious or philosophical beliefs, sexual orientation, sexual activity, precise geolocation, health diagnosis data, and genetic information, unquote.
Wow.
Now, it's not clear whether Nissan has information on its driver's genetics or sexual activity, but the notice is alarming all the same, especially since five other companies also say they can collect genetic information or characteristics. It's crazy.
Yeah, it
Today's cars generate about 25 gigabytes of data per hour, and that data is worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Joanne Mueller, who was an Axios writer, wrote a couple years ago about all the information Tesla knows about its drivers. In that piece, she noted that in 2014, almost 10 years ago, 20 automakers, not including Tesla, signed a voluntary set of automotive privacy principles. According to Mozilla, not one of those 20 automakers actually adheres to the principles that it signed up to follow. The report concludes that the car companies clearly know what they should be doing to respect your privacy, even though they absolutely don't do it. And that, Melody, is this week's creepy. Levity is golden.
Yeah, and you know, it's the same thing. It just cracks me up. You have IT guys, all the big guys in D.C. with these committees trying to figure out how to set up regulations for AI. And I'm watching this, you know, they're bragging about, oh, this is such a wonderful thing that we can get. And I'm thinking, it is no different than this. They'll sit there and they'll sign anything that the government wants them to sign, and then they're just going to completely ignore it. And what is anybody going to do? Like, they really want to control AI? Are you kidding me? The guys that are going to be making billions and billions and billions of dollars on AI, they want it regulated because they're concerned about society? It just cracks me up. Such a waste of time. You know, they'll make the regulations that will affect, you know, the little people that, you know, maybe try to do something. I don't know. It's just, this is creepy, Dave. And it just irritates me because and that's what these guys did. They all got together. They all signed these automotive privacy principles, and who actually adheres to it? Not a one. Mm. But when it comes to genetics, are you kidding me? What do they do? Can they absorb your finger?
I mean,
can they absorb your fingerprints from the steering wheel?
You know, I laugh, but wonder. I don't know the answer to that. It's, and I'm not sure at this point. I want to look into it further. I thought the little handy dandy insert, computerized insert, was just providing information that my insurance company uses to say, well, okay, he doesn't drive too fast. And yeah, he said that he has a 10-mile commute, but looks as though he's looks like a lot more. But I mean, stuff like that. But just to sell the data to others,
none of it's okay. None of it is okay, you know. Here's something that, you know, it sounds great. Household wealth rises to a record. You know, the U.S. increased about $5.5 trillion to a record, $154.3 trillion in the second quarter. Again, this is according to the New York Fed. That's for household wealth across the U.S. But it's spurred by stock and house prices. So how does your house prices help you? It's on paper. Shows that you're wealthy on paper, but are you really wealthy? And, you know, and it's also spurred by gains in stock. Well, unless you sell it. Most people don't sell it because they're in your 401s. You can't sell it and so forth and whatnot until you're just about dead. But anyway, in the quarter ending June 30th, the value of corporate equities held by households jumped $2.6 trillion. The value of household real estate increased by $2.4 trillion. So this data is not adjusted for inflation, and they say it's a sign of recovery after inflation drove a drop in the value of these assets in the last half of 2022. So I don't know, Dave, you know, it's nice to see household wealth hitting a new record high, but is it really wealth when it's really based on inflation? I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. It's actually an excellent point. And, you know, here's another case that you know, should cause us to ask, well, how does that flow from the upper income households to the lower ones?
Yeah. I don't think it does. But hey, what it does is we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And one more time today, welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen, Melody taking care of clients this final segment. You know where to reach her, 1-800-375-4188. Our southern neighbor, Mexico, looks like has emerged as one of the winners from the U.S.-China standoff, as its giant northern neighbor seeks to cut reliance on its geopolitical rival. Investment in Mexico is booming, and it's coming from the likes of Tesla and others. And in July, Mexico even eclipsed China as the U.S.'s biggest trading partner, regaining a title it held before China's ascent. Yet Mexico, well, it has a history of missing what could have been its moments. Over the past three decades, even the NAFTA trade deal, which just like today's wave of so-called nearshoring, brought plenty of foreign investment, couldn't pull Mexico out of a rut. Since 1994, that's the year NAFTA took effect, growth in our southern neighbor has averaged about 2% a year, well below par for developing countries. Not bad for those who are in the so-called upper developed economies, and but nowhere near enough to lift millions of Mexican citizens out of poverty. Now, you got Turkey, Malaysia, Poland. They're just three examples of nations that were poorer than Mexico at the start of the century and are now substantially richer. Already, the investments that Mexico is attracting are putting its infrastructure under growing strain. Amid bottlenecks created by, well, erratic power transmission in many regions of the country, plus limited industrial space, and plain old water scarcity. Then there's the question of whether domestic investment will just pick up. It could help spread the benefits of the nearshoring boom and shift the economy onto a faster growth track. Absent that, some economists say Mexico will just end up importing more components to be assembled for export with little value added locally. Well, speaking of China, China has lashed out at the EU's investigation into electric vehicle subsidies, saying the move is going to harm relations, and it chided foreign automakers for failing to keep up with technological innovation. The chorus of criticism was joined by China's top auto industry body and a leading Communist Party newspaper to boot. It could be signaling a new front to open in global trade wars. Now, European Commission Prez Ursula von der Leyen said the global auto market is overrun with cheap Chinese vehicles with prices kept artificially low by huge state subsidies. Now, the EU probe could take 9 months, they say, with a decision possibly landing right around the time of European parliamentary elections next year. It reportedly could lead to EU tariffs close to 27.5%. That's a level already imposed by the U.S. on Chinese EVs. The investigation's a win for the French government that has long warned of an influx of Chinese vehicles undercutting European equivalents. The French finance ministry is already working on adjusting its own state-funded bonuses for EV purchases there, supposedly with the goal of limiting subsidies to vehicles equipped with batteries that have a low carbon footprint. Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire said in Berlin, where he was urging Germany to support tougher measures to protect European industry, quote, Europe must show that it's determined to defend its economic interest, to defend its industrial interests, end quote. Well, German economy minister Robert Habeck said the move isn't about keeping cheap, efficient cars out of the European market, but looking into whether China's providing companies with an unfair advantage. Akash Arora, who's a managing director in the Boston Consulting Group's auto practice, said there's a big reason there are no Chinese EVs in the U.S. market. U.S. tariff on EVs coming from China completely wipes out the 20 to 25% cost advantage China has because of its lower labor costs, local suppliers, and vertical integration. In Europe, the tariff on Chinese EVs is just 9%. Aurora continued, if you have a 20 to 25% cost advantage, it makes sense to go to the countries where even after the tariff, you're price competitive. Well, the only way for the Chinese to sell EVs in the U.S. competitively is to make them and the batteries they run that run them here because of the requirements in the Inflation Reduction Act. Localization will be key and will take time. So, because the U.S. is an inhospitable market, Chinese electric vehicles right now, that reduces the chance of the Biden administration taking similar actions to Europe. And speaking of cars, You may have noticed or not heard yesterday's inflation data, which came in a touch hotter than expected. They're blaming car insurance. Yes, auto insurance prices for American consumers rising at their fastest pace in more than 40 years. Of course, gasoline prices, as we mentioned, measured by the CPI, surged almost 11% just last month on the back of rising crude oil prices and refinery shutdowns. U.S. insurers have been jacking up rates to offset heavier than expected losses on personal auto insurance policies. The surprising size of checks insurers have been forced to write for auto policies is essentially an echo of the vehicle price surge that drove inflation just a few years ago, the height of the pandemic. Now, fixing those more expensive cars is also more expensive. Prices for auto parts are also up thanks to inflation, and that raises the price of repairs. Meanwhile, tight labor markets jacked up the cost of sending your ride to the body shop. Lack of labor also has delayed repairs, resulting in increased insurer spending on car rentals. And the cost of payouts for injuries has been driven up, by inflation for healthcare services. Fitch rating analysts say this: insurers have been struggling with car replacements as well as replacement parts, as well as labor shortages. Losses increased more than companies anticipated when they priced the policies. Last year was among the worst year for the industry personal auto profitability. Those are the words of Tricia Griffith, who's CEO of Progressive, the country's second largest personal auto insurer. And so far, she added, 2023 has been worse. Well, I can agree with her. We use Progressive for my family's cars, and our rates are up 15% this year. And it certainly looks like auto insurance rates are likely going to keep rising for the foreseeable future. So you ought to plan accordingly. And given the recent push up in crude oil prices, the local gas pump certainly isn't going to be a source of relief anytime soon. Here's the big news. President Biden's decided to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, not at the White House. Comes after long internal debate over the politics and foreign policy considerations. The expected meeting in New York next week will be the first in-person meeting between the two since the prime minister returned to office in Israel nearly 9 months ago. Some are calling it a highly unusual delay considering the supposed close alliance between the two states. But certainly a disappointment for Netanyahu, who had wanted a meeting at the White House. Netanyahu has been pushing through a judicial overhaul opposed by many in Israel, American Jews, Democrats in Congress, and the Biden administration, who fear it will undermine Israel's democracy. Netanyahu is also heading what Biden himself has called the most extreme Israeli government he's seen since he began working with Israeli prime ministers 50 years ago. Netanyahu, who was clearly frustrated and embarrassed that he hadn't been invited to the White House, pressed his ambassador to Washington, Michael Herzog, to get him a meeting with Biden. Israeli officials also reportedly pressed the White House for an Oval Office meeting ahead of Netanyahu's trip to New York next week for the UN General Assembly. Well, it looks as though September 22nd, after Biden and Netanyahu finished their business at the UN, is one of the meeting dates they're trying to hone in on. Long debate ensued inside the White House about how to choreograph the meeting, with some of Biden's advisors supporting a meeting at the White House and others pushing for one in New York. Eventually, the decision was made for Biden to meet Bibi at the UN. Last Tuesday, our Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, spoke to Netanyahu on the phone and told him Biden's schedule would preclude an Oval Office meeting, but the president would be happy to see him in New York. U.S. officials who were provided info for this story said a meeting in New York will strike the right balance between the different considerations. It will allow Biden and Netanyahu to agree, meet in person and discuss pressing issues such as their judicial overhaul and Biden's push for a mega deal with Saudi Arabia, but won't signal to the Israelis that it's business as usual. Well, Melody alluded to this in the last segment. It looks like the growing sentiment to regulate artificial intelligence before it's too late has produced an early consensus in our nation's capital. Senators left Majority Leader's Chuck Schumer's AI Insight Forum on Capitol Hill yesterday talking about an urgent need to pass legislation governing AI, and CEOs agreed that Washington must play a role. Elon Musk, for one, said after the closed-door meeting that tech leaders need to have a referee in Washington and suggested the meeting may go down as history is very important to the future of civilization. The event strengthened Washington's consensus that government must take a strong hand with the new technology, even as the likelihood of any immediate action remains low. Over 60 senators showed up. Musk, Bill Gates, Sundar Pichai, Mark Zuckerberg, and Sam Altman were among the 20 tech and civil society leaders in the room. One of the major themes that emerged was maintaining U.S. leadership on the global stage. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said, "I believe it's better than that the standard is set by American companies, which can work with our government to shape these models on important issues." CEOs said government funding is needed for transformational innovations to help cure cancer, combat hunger, and bolster national security. Schumer says the next Senate AI forum will focus on how the government can encourage innovation to mitigate AI risks, but also to unleash its potential. Gave me the shudders there. Future forums will include smaller companies, Schumer said, something critics have said is necessary to ensure that not just big companies' views are represented. I think that's important. Schumer, with the help of Senators Todd Young of Indiana, Mike Rounds of South Dakota, and Marty Heinrich of New Mexico, will continue his bipartisan forums throughout the coming fall while other legislative ramps up at the committee level. Schumer said he called each of the 22 people invited to yesterday's forum and urged them to attend. He also said he'll continue to push for a package of bills of kids online safety. He's saying we're making good progress on that. We're working on it. We believe we need to get that done. Well, stop talking about it and get it done. As the 2024 elections near, senators are also interested in getting something done on deep fakes and election ads. Look, with that, people, baby steps now. Baby steps. That's all the time we have for today's program. Can't believe it already. I'll be back next Tuesday. Melody back tomorrow with Butch. Close out another week of financial survival. Also be on the lookout for our weekly What a Rush of Gold and Silver blog. Your email inboxes in the AM. Thanks again to our production engineer, Todd Waite, and to you for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Have a good evening. Bye-bye. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Paramol.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-8-